Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the spot!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la rondelle qui va faire et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBee.TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Thursday, April 11. Patrick Waugh's New York Islanders beat Marty St. Louis' Montreal Canadiens by a score of 3-2 in overtime and an OT winner by Kyle Palmieri. We'll discuss it in just a couple of minutes, not before I talk to you about our partners and our sponsors, starting with Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. And the people right behind me are LaBitte TV. Not the people, but the fridge, that is. LaBitte TV, stacked with their beer, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards. LaBitte TV offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. LaBitte TV, embrace your true nature. Experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines, weekly events, karaoke, Mondays, comedy, Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, and much more. Discover their latest additions, etc. Steakhouse, Drunken Dragons, exquisite sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounge's Meds and Cocktails. Playground, your ultimate destination for entertainment. Just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit playground.ca for details. It was a big one for the New York Islanders, who are playing for their playoff lives. The Montreal Canadiens at this point are just trying to play spoilers. And for the Canadiens, no, they weren't able to do it. Patrick Waugh's New York Islanders get Patty the win. They get the team the win. They get a big one. And the Islanders have put themselves in a very good position. Thank you very much. They are one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League right now. And even though they don't have a tremendous amount of depth, and even though they have some weaknesses, I got to tell you, I would not want to play a Patrick Waugh, Lou Lamoriello, Jacques Lemaire team in the playoffs, because that team can upset. And we know that upsets happen in the playoffs. Without further ado, let's bring them on now. Formerly from the Bob Gainey administration with the Montreal Canadiens, a former scout with the Canadiens, with recruits and recruits.ca. Pick up your public, register on the website for less than $4 a month, and it'll be your one-stop shop to Habs coverage, articles, in-depth analysis, scouting reports, breakdowns, mock drafts, interviews, all that stuff, and much more. He's also one half of the Recruits Draftcast podcast. I'm talking about no other than Grant McCagg. Grant, what's going on?
Hey, Tony. Oh, well, picked up a point. That's one more than I was hoping they'd get, but hey, that's the way it goes.
Oh, you're wearing your Montreal Canadiens sweater tonight. Look at you. A 1 point for the Montreal Canadiens, 0 points for the Laval Rocket. And Grant, that loss by the Rocket, and I know that you had your two eyes. You had one on one screen and one on the other. That one hurt tonight in Cleveland.
Yeah, that second period was atrocious. They're up 2-0 going into the second period, and they just, like, they had about 3 shots on net or something like that, let in 4 goals and just standing around and not creating any offense. I think we saw that at the game we were at, even, Tony. You know,
big time. There's a lack of offensive talent in Laval, Grant.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been like that for as long as I can remember, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today. Like, I don't know that there's any, you know, maybe Heinemann down the road, but like, there's no future NHL forwards, or certainly not Montreal forwards, I don't think, and that was in that lineup tonight, you know? And it's been like that for way too long. Like, Joshua Waugh might, You know, he's the best bet from this year ending up being an NHL player. But before that, who's the last one? Like, I mean, Raphael Harvey Pinard, I don't know if he's going to be a regular NHLer. The way he's played this year, you got to doubt it. Like, does he have a roster spot next year? Maybe.
You know what? It's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed for sure. Oh. You know, the one forward who spent a couple of seasons with the Rock and has become a regular with the Canadiens is Evans. But, Evans. You know, let's be honest here. He should be your fourth line centerman on the team. Yeah.
Well, and that's going back 6 years or something. So in the last 6 years, you know, Raphael Harvey Pinard's the only guy that, you know, that they've developed up front that's played in the NHL, and he's a tweener, really, to be honest with you.
So, yeah.
Starting next year, it's going to change, but I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years, but you know, I think they're going to add a top six forward this offseason. They really need to. And then that increases their depth, right? And they can let guys percolate down in the minors that are going to be NHLers instead of rushing them, you know? Like, hopefully Beck and Meshar are down in the minors. Jack Eye, you know, all those guys. That there's actually going to be some talent, more than one possibility on Laval that looks like it could be future NHLers at forward, because it's been far too long.
You would think that Luke Tuck is going to join them in the not so distant future. By the way, before we get to tonight's hockey game, the Frozen Four for Boston University has come to an end. They lose by a score of 2-1 versus Denver, which means most likely that Lane Hudson has played his last game and should be joining the Montreal Canadiens in the very near future.
Yeah. I hope they sign Tuck. I think he was certainly through the first two periods, he was their best forward. And then Celebrini stepped it up in the third in overtime. But Tuck had an excellent game. And I think he's a consummate like fourth line forward down the road. I don't envision Raphael Harvey Pinard as being your ideal fourth line player.
No.
I think he needs more size and a little more grit. He's great for his size, but the combination of both, right?
If you want to have an energy line, you want to have some bigger bodies, you want guys to finish their checks, you're going to need some bigger bodies.
And I don't see them on Laval necessarily. Maybe Heinemann down the road, if he can score the odd goal. But he's been inconsistent this year.
Yeah.
A little disappointed. I was expecting more this year from him.
I see you left O'Farrell out of the equation when talking about forwards who are in Laval who can possibly end up making it to the big leagues or to the Canadiens. And
I see him as a tweener.
Yeah. He's definitely has a lot of talent, but
we're seeing at the pro game, Tony, that, you know, you can, through the years, through the decades, there's always been talented 5'9" guys that, really smart, that can score at the junior level, that can score at the college level. But once they turn pro, it's a whole different ball game. And he just doesn't translate as well as you'd like because he's not fast enough.
Yeah. Let's get to the Canadiens. All right. I mean, they had a 1-0 lead and they had a 2-1 lead. And Christian Dvorak probably could have scored the game winner in overtime on that 2-on-1. Suzuki passes to him. And for whatever reason, Dvorak tries to give it back to Suzuki. And it's broken up. And then it goes the other way. And probably 20 or 25 seconds later, the Islanders end up scoring the game winner when Palmieri catches Montembeau cheating on his knees and says, you know what? You're not going to expect this, but I'm going to put it right up and over you and make you look a little bit foolish. And he did. And the Islanders win. They really stifled the Canadiens, though, tonight. Though I know the Canadiens had a couple of goals, but, man, they weren't able to get too many shots on net.
No. And yet that's, you know, often happens after a big 9-goal outburst like they had last game. The next game, then, they're a little flat. And, New York had everything to play for, right? They're on a roll. They had to win. They've got a motivational coach in Patrick Roy. And they had reason to stifle them, and they did a good job of it. Even with Dobson getting injured and their best defenseman gets injured, and they didn't miss a beat, I didn't think.
All right, let's get to the lineup for the Montreal Canadiens, and here you have it. Let's bring it up. Suzuki, Slavkovsky, Caulfield, Newhook, Armia, Gallagher, Evans, Anderson, Pearson, Dvorak, Raphael, Arvi, Pinard, Pezzetta, Matheson, Savard, Harris, Kovacevic, Struble, Barron, and Samuel Montembeau in goal. All right, the last time these two teams met, there was an illegal hit by Brendan Gallagher on Adam Pellick. He got his elbow up. It was a headshot. It was dirty. He was suspended for 5 games. And there's a thing in the National Hockey League called the code. Whether you agree with it or not, you go out and you do something like that, you injure someone, you're going to have to answer the bell, either versus that player or versus another player. We looked at it earlier today. Adam Pellick, about 6'3". Brendan Gallagher, about 5'9". We're saying, oh, man, that is a mismatch. But Jean-Gabriel Pageau is more of Brendan Gallagher's size. So what does he do? He hits Brendan Gallagher from behind, who goes into the boards head first. Luckily for Gallagher, he was able to avoid injury. But when he got up, he didn't like it. He dropped the gloves. And that was, quote unquote, the code, Grant, and answering to the code.
Pacho didn't get a penalty for that either, did he?
No, he did not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than, you know, when Uyghur went back at Paul Byron there, you know, the mismatch that was. Yeah, was I kind of like, you know, it was, I thought I had some respect for Pacho doing that, to step up and, you know, somebody his own size kind of thing to handle it, and now it's done, and hopefully next time around they don't come after Gallagher again. I mean, it was a dirty hit. Nobody liked the hit that Gallagher, and I think they needed to respond to it, so I had no issue with any of that.
All right, okay, so Jordan Harris scores a goal for the Montreal Canadiens tonight. At one point, we're like, okay, did Slavkovsky deflect that, because Slavkovsky was parked in front of the Islander goal? But it was Harris. That puck had eyes. His fourth point in the last two games, and now, look, I know the 3 points versus Philadelphia, I know it's an anomaly because it seemed like everyone picked up points versus the Flyers, but does he have an offensive upside that we haven't seen yet? I mean, have we basically discounted him maybe too quickly, and probably there's something there?
Well, how many games has he played in the NHL, Tony? Is it like maybe 100?
I would think it's probably even less than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's adjusting to the league. It's the best league in the world. And
it's actually more. I stand corrected. Yeah. It's 129 games.
Yeah, I figured something like that. So yeah, I mean,
totally forgot that 3 years ago he played his first 10 games in the National
Hockey League. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But you know, and until you've played, I mean, Danny Potvin said, you know, until you've played 200 plus games in the NHL, you don't really know what kind of a player you got there. And I mean, last time I was on, Tony, I mentioned that I thought that he was playing better. And I think he's gained more confidence since he was out and he came back. He's been one of their better defensemen. And did you notice that who was on the second shift in overtime? He's such a good skater, 3-on-3. You know, that's the coach giving him is due for, like, he's been playing better than Struble lately, you know, and that wasn't the case when Struble first came up. Struble was maybe the second, third best defenseman on the team. But right now, Harris has been one of the three best Habs defensemen the last half dozen to 10 games, I think. And he's gained more confidence and he's starting to put up some points. We saw it in college that he has some offensive, you know, he doesn't have a booming shot. His goals that he's going to score are going to be seeing eye goals mostly, probably. But he can join the rush with his speed and pop in the odd goal that way. But he's got vision. He's got good playmaking skills. So, you know, as long as he's playing a regular role, I could see him being a 20 to 40 point NHL defenseman that defends very well, is mobile, smart, competes. I like him. I know he's not super flashy, but I think he's just an elite skater and smart. And when you have those two qualities, you can carve out a decent NHL career.
Christopher Letang has skated with some Montreal Canadiens players in the offseason over the last couple of years out in Brossard. And he's given his opinion that he believes that the Montreal Canadiens are going to have a real good dominant defense core for many, many years to come. And I think he caught everyone by surprise when at one point he said he sees a little bit of himself in Jordan Harris. Whoa!
That'd be nice, eh?
I mean, he sees a little bit of himself in Jordan Harris. Yeah. I mean, I did not expect to hear something like that. When I heard it for the first time, I was like, wow, are you kidding me? Really? And so it has you thinking sometimes, you know? It's got you thinking.
Yeah. I know when I talked to Jerry Keefe, his coach in Northeastern and Madigan before that, they just could not sing his praises higher. And Keefe said, like, he's got top four. He'll be an NHL, a top four NHL defenseman when he's fully developed. He has no, he thinks that that's a given. And I think he actually, certainly at the time, he thought he had better pro potential than Struble. So, you know, you don't, 129 games in or whatever it was you said.
Yeah.
You know, it's way too early to be, you know, like earlier in the year, he'd played 80 NHL games and you're, oh, well, is he an NHL? It was way too early to know. You know, you've got to get the experience. You got to get the reps,
yeah,
the confidence at the NHL level. And right now he's got it. He's playing very confidently and he's just such a great skater and a great kid. So I couldn't be happier for him.
And then there were three for the Montreal Canadiens, three games left in this NHL season for the Canadiens. They're going to be in Ottawa on Saturday night. They'll be in Detroit on Monday night. And their last game of the season, they host Detroit on Tuesday night. That's it for them. But it won't be it for us because the Sick Podcast will continue not only throughout the entire month of April, but also the month of May and also the month of June and also the month of July and also the month of August. Nothing wrong in taking time off. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of good in taking time off. We just don't really take it. There'll be different shows, though. I will tell you right now, we're going to change the concept up a little bit in the month of July and in the month of August. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of shows that are going to be interviews with either a coach or a GM or an assistant coach or a scout or an executive or a player. The last give or take about 30 minutes or so, and we'll have a different one for you all the time. Having said that, if the Montreal Canadiens pull off a blockbuster trade in the summer, you know, on that particular night, boom, we are going live and we are talking Montreal Canadiens hockey the entire time. For the most part, our interviews are going to try and be around the Montreal Canadiens, but it's quite possible that we'll be interviewing as well NHL players with other teams as well. I know Vinny DeArne, I had an interview with him about a year ago or a little bit less than that. And I got to tell you, man, it was one interesting conversation. I really enjoyed it. So that's what it's going to be like here on in. Another thing is, you know, for the most part, we tried to go 1 hour with podcasts. We actually ended up going more than an hour on certain nights, sometimes an hour 10, 15, 20, 25, even an hour 30. But now, you know what? When we want to stop, we're going to stop. So if it's going to be 45, it's going to be 45. And we're always going to try and bring you quantity more so than quality. On nights when we can have both together at the same time, why not? It's a win-win for everybody, but that's the way it's going to go down. All right, Juraj Slafkovský. You can't play great every night. You can't have a hat trick every night the way you had a hat trick the other night versus Philadelphia. I found tonight he was in a little bit more slow-mo. Did you find that?
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't his best game tonight. I think he was on for all three goals against.
He was puck watching on one in particular.
Yeah. No, hey, still a 20-year-old, and there's going to be up against the top lines every night.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get schooled on occasion still. And it's all learning experience. It's nothing wrong with it. Like, you know, get in the video room and slough. This is what you got to do. You know, they're still learning.
Hey,
you don't learn how to play defense at the NHL level overnight. That's for sure.
Craig Button joined me yesterday. A couple of nights ago, it was Maxime LaPierre following the Canadiens' big 9-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Would have been cool in a way if you would have joined me on that night because you, of course, are the president of the Juraj Slafkovský fan club. So
I am.
Your thoughts on when you saw him do what he did a couple of nights ago?
Well, I don't know if you saw my tweet about it being 50 years since I felt, you know, that there's a prospect that I think can be a superstar for the Canadiens. The last one that I felt that way about and watched him blossom was when I was like 11 years old, and that was Guy Lafleur. And, you know, I'm getting that feeling again, and that night especially. And like I said it in second period when he'd scored twice.
Yeah.
And then you tweeted out, you know, I think he might get a hat trick tonight. And
yeah. Voila. By the way, that's that same feeling. Yeah, I had that feeling for Richer.
I didn't. Never found him to be a physical two-way player. He scored a lot of goals, but I don't know. I just didn't quite get that feeling with Richer that he was soft, a little soft, I thought.
Yeah, no, so listen, I didn't. I hear you. Richer, clearly Slafkovský has the tools to be like the biggest Habs package that we have seen in like a very, very, really, really long time. Like he is, you know, everyone used to talk about the big M, Mahovlich. I mean, this guy can be that and something else at another level. But yeah. Richer had, you know, when I used to watch Richer play, I used to feel the way I used to feel when I used to watch Lafleur play. Pick up the puck, down the round with the right wing, put the head down, off to the races you go, the big slap shot. Everyone knows where it's going, including the goalie, but he's scoring anyway. You know, and he had in close, he had these real soft hands and he had these great moves. But so what you're feeling with Slafkovský, I felt it with Richer. Well, yes, he lacked the consistency. Yes,
he had two great seasons,
And then, two seasons of over 50 goals in a three-year span. In a three-year span,
right? But did he hit? Even did he score more than 30? Or like he had two great seasons, and he never really had like he had two great seasons, right?
With the Canadiens, yes. I think he had another really good one with the New Jersey Devils, where he scored close to 40, but no, he was not. Let me see here.
I remember he had the two big, huge years, but.
Yeah, there you have it. He had 50 with the Canadiens, then 25, then 51. Then he had a 31 goal season. Then he gets traded to New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
And with the Devils, he had seasons of 29, 38, 36, 23 in 45 games, 20 goals, and then traded back to the Montreal Canadiens again.
Okay. Yeah. But, what, you know, I mean, hey. We've had nobody like that since, right? So, you know, and that's the only guy that almost came to mind, Tony,
in the
last 50 years was Richer. Like I did think about, but I think Slafkovský can be a point per game guy for a decade, you know, at the NHL level, maybe more. And an all-round game, tough. You notice how unselfish he is too, you know, these goals where I don't even know. Yeah. He may have even tipped that today, and then you've noticed the last time that he didn't take credit for the goal that he ended up getting changed to him later. They let the other guy go by and do the glove with everybody on the bench. Didn't say, I scored it. And then again tonight, it looked like he might have tipped that, but he just wants to win. He doesn't care. Yeah. And I know Marty St. Louis mentioned it before, just at how unselfish he is for, a first overall pick that could be a superstar that is blossoming. That's the least thing on his mind is his points. It's team. It's all about team. So
yeah.
I think they got themselves just all around package in all regards, personality wise, character wise, physical wise, offensive potential wise, and I think he'll be a defensive. He's having some hiccups still. Still got puck watching, like you said, tonight, and mm-hmm. quite a few times, actually, this season. But that will come. I think he'll be a penalty killer down the road, too. I mean, with that size and skill and compete level, he can I think he'll be a 20 to 25 minute a night guy that plays in all situations.
You like size like that on the penalty kill. You also like the fact the guy's got a long stick, right? He can break up a lot of passes by keeping his stick on the ice, kind of like what Yoel Armia does, you know. Like Armia, say what you want, like Armia's been really, really good on the penalty kill this year. He really has. I know the penalty kill has had their ups and downs, but Armia's done a really, really good job for the Canadians on the penalty kill. He's done a really, really good job in the last 2 or 3 months of the season. I thought, look, tonight wasn't his best night, unfortunately. You didn't see those some of those hits, but he's shooting the puck with a lot of regularity right now, right? Yoel Armia had 4 shots on goal tonight, along with Cole Caulfield. They led Montreal Canadiens players with shots on goal, and I thought Armia was pretty good tonight. He was involved. Josh Anderson, by the way, unfortunately for him, he had a couple real good scoring chances. He wasn't able to score, but he did have 4 hits in this game tonight. I thought he was pretty good. The one thing, Grant, the Canadiens did a real good job of keeping Matheson's numbers down the other night versus Philadelphia, because of course they made him skip a few shifts, and they did the same thing with the Suzuki line. I don't know why Matheson again tonight, 4 games left in the season, has another 26 minutes. I mean, at this point,
he's a horse.
Just play some of your younger players. I mean,
I know.
What's the difference? If you win the game tonight, what's the difference?
No, I know. Yeah, you're right. And he hit the 50 assist mark, you know, for a guy that gets as much grief as he does on social media, which surprises me because he's just such a underrated defenseman.
The grief is all bullshit. It's all bullshit. The grief is all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what? Haters just looking for someone to hate. It's just people wanting to troll for whatever reason. Mike Matheson's absolutely amazing.
Is he
perfect? No. Does he have his weaknesses? Yes. Guess what? Erik Karlsson at one point was an amazing defenseman in the National Hockey League who had a lot of weaknesses. He had a lot of weaknesses, Erik Karlsson, but at one point he was amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Matheson's the number one defenseman in the NHL. He's not one of the 5 best, but he's a number one defenseman.
Grant, every team going to the playoffs would want him on their team going to the playoffs. Every team.
Absolutely.
Right? Every team.
Yep. I have noticed, Tony, I don't know if you have felt this way or not, but Dvorak, his skating has looked decent the 2 games that he's played so far.
I think he probably worked on it a lot while he was out with the injury.
I do too, but I don't know that he skated better as a Canadian.
He's gliding. He's going. You're right. It's smooth because it was lackluster, to use a term, before. It kind of sluggish, and now a lot more smooth. It seems like it's easier for him.
And I don't think Gallagher's laboring as much as he was earlier in the year. I think his skating is. His whatever, maybe conditioning, skating, whatever, is better than it was at the start of the year when it looked like he was done. Like Gallagher will come back next year and contribute.
Gallagher looks better at game 79 than he did at game 29. And who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
No. So that's encouraging too. Now, if Anderson can get his mojo back next year, Dvorak skating like he is now, if he, you know, Doc comes back, Joshua Waugh, if they add another top 6 forward, like you're going to be looking at like a fourth line is going to be something like Evans, Anderson, Gallagher will be your fourth line. And if they're playing well, that's going to be a pretty solid fourth line. And then three really good top three line, like their top 9 will be really good next year.
Yeah.
I think the Canadians contend next year. All they need is one forward piece in the top 6. You know, I really think that's it. And they'll, the defensemen, young defense corps, they're only going to get better again next year. They'll add, you know, they'll be Hudson, Reinbacher, and whoever in the mix to maybe they step up and grab a spot. I really think the goaltending is pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think they'll contend next year. I don't see why not.
Dvorak gets traded in the offseason, then Newhook's going to be your third-line centerman to start the season. If he does not, Dvorak's going to be your third-line centerman, and Alex Newhook's probably going to be playing the wing on the second line.
Yeah, probably. But unless they get a top-six guy to go with Doc, and if it's Wah, you know, on your second line, it might be Doc, Newhook, and the player that they pick up. Because I really do think they're going to, you know, Jeff Gorton in New York, it was 3-year rebuild. And then they went and they got Panarin and then they traded for Fox. And they tried to contend. And I think it's going to be the same with this management group this year. Okay, we can contend next year if we get one key piece up front. And hey. Maybe two. Maybe they pick up two. Who knows? But I think that the Canadians are only one top six forward away from being a contender next year.
Let's take a look at the game sheet. Why don't we do that? All right. Okay. Period number one, assist going to Caulfield and Suzuki on a goal by Jordan Harris, a shot from the point with Slavkovsky parked in front of the goal. But after replay and review and all that stuff, the goal belongs to Jordan Harris, his third of the season. Engvall in the slot with a quick shot up and over Montembeau. He ties that one at one. That came 5 minutes and 17 seconds into period number two. On to period number three, they go. And I really love this pass that Jonathan Kovacevic gave Cole Caulfield. Holy jumping. I did not expect Kovacevic to be able to thread the needle on a pass like that the way he did. It was absolutely fantastic. Caulfield's shot goes in, and it caught everyone by surprise because no one really knew where the puck was. Except for Caulfield, who was pointing the whole time and saying, it's in the net. And Slavkovsky was saying, he was pointing to it. It's in the net. Cizikas is able to tie it up. He gets a puck that actually comes off of the boards, jumps on a rebound, jumps on that puck, and is able to jam it home with Pelech and Pulak getting the assist on that one. They go to overtime. And once again, the Canadiens had a 2-on-1. It was Suzuki and Christian Dvorak who tried to give it back to Suzuki, and it was picked off. And then they go the other way. And Kyle Palmieri gets the puck down the right side, and he's looking past, but at the same time, he tricks Montembeau with a shot up and over him. He pulled a fast one on Montembeau there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Monty can't be perfect.
Hey, Cole Caulfield scored his 25th. Not bad for a guy that it sounds like he's, if you would listen to what everyone's been saying about him, you would think he has got 12 goals this year.
Yeah.
How many guys score 25 goals in the National Hockey League? Not that many.
Yeah. And 60 plus points. That's pretty solid. For an off year, that's not bad.
Yeah. Your buddy the Snake says that they gave him that contract way too soon, way too much.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You know? I think he's, I don't know what his goals per game over 82 is at this point, but it's got to be around 30. And he's only coming into his prime. You know, Slavkovsky's only going to get better. Suzuki still can still get better. The Canadians have, you know, going into next year for the first time, a legitimate first line in. For the first time, I don't know, this millennium, maybe?
Yeah.
So it's, I know you keep talking about you want to see an exciting team. You want to see, you know, like the of your youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up, Tony, with Lafleur shut Lemaire. Now, Lafleur shut Lemaire, Mahovlic, Cornway, you know, the flying Frenchman. And it was, we haven't seen it since the 90s. So it's, I think starting next year, there'll be above average NHL skill on the Montreal Canadiens for the first time in 20 plus years next year, and then over the next 5 to 10. So it's very exciting, and they're getting a top six pick. Ottawa won tonight, so they're tied with Arizona for the sixth pick right now, right?
Over 900 players have played in the National Hockey League this season. Less than 85 of 25 goals or more.
There you go.
That's not a bad stat.
No. And next year, Slav hits 25, I think, you know, maybe with his eyes closed. And Caulfield hits 30 to 40. I think he can be a 40-goal scorer. I also think this year I've noticed with his shot, it's still not back to what it was before his shoulder surgery.
So you're talking about Caulfield, because at one point you were talking about Slavkovsky, because I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
If I had to bet yes or no that Yuri Slavkovsky will score 50 goals, at least one season. I'm not talking about 5, 6, 7. I'm going to say yes. Well, Chris Kreider scored over 50 goals one season.
Yeah.
If Kreider could do it, who's really difficult to move out of the front of the net on that power play and has shown a great ability to deflect pucks, I think Slavkovsky could do that one year.
Well, you know, we'll see with the defense down the road. If Lane Hutson, you know, becomes a regular NHLer, having that guy feeding you on the power play, like Slavkovsky's going to score a lot of power play goals. And I think what translates well for him, you know, being able to score a lot of goals in the future is that he can do it a lot of different ways. He can do it in front of the net, deflecting pucks. He can do it in front of the net, getting rebounds and depositing them in garbage goals. He can do it with a shot. He can do it with his stick handling and skating ability and skill. So he can do it a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, down the road that if you have the multiple ways that you can score goals, you can become a prolific goal scorer.
So, by the way, I said about 83 or 84 players have scored as many goals or more than Cole Caulfield. About 83 or 84 players have picked up as many points this season as Cole Caulfield. So you're looking at a player who in goals and in points is in the top 83 or 84. That's not too shabby. Once again, like you said, at 23 years old and 3 months.
Yes.
What, 3 or 4 years into his National Hockey League career, coming off of season-ending shoulder surgery last year, it's not that bad.
How many of those guys are 24 plus, right, Tony?
Yeah.
Like, I bet you 75% of them at least are 24 years of age or older. So when you look at it and say, okay, how many guys under the age of 24 have 60, 25 goals and 60 points? I'd be surprised if it's 20, you know? So, yeah, and I mean, from his draft class, Hughes had more points this year. Not too many guys from the 2019 draft class, 60 points or 25 goals. If you go down that list, I had a quick look. I didn't go right through, but I bet you it's less than five. Might only be like two or three that had 25 goals and 60 points. So, he's just scratching the surface. And I do think that a year recovering and another offseason of building his shoulder and his shot back up, get to the point where it was before. Because I just don't think it was quite as elite this year as what we saw in his first 2 years. He gets that back and the first line keeps developing and getting to know each other, more used to each other. And you know, they're still young. I can see 70 to 80 points for Caulfield next year, 70 plus for Slav. And 90, I wouldn't be surprised if Suzuki hit 90 plus next year.
So we'll do this because you've piqued my curiosity now. I'm on NHL.com, all right? And I don't have the players' ages in front of me, but I have a pretty good idea of who's how old, right? The top 20 goal scorers this year in the National Hockey League, Austin Matthews, Sam Reinhart, Zach Hyman, Nathan MacKinnon, Artemi Panarin, David Pastrnak, Braden Point, Philip Forsberg, Nikita Kucherov, Kirill Kaprizov, Leon Draisaitl, Jonathan Marchessault, Sidney Crosby, Brock Besser, Mikko Rantanen, William Nylander, Chris Kreider, Steven Stamkos, JT Miller, and Sebastian Aho. That's your top 20, okay? They're all older than
25 plus.
Correct. You correct me if I'm wrong. Number 21 on the list is Brady Tkachuk, and he, I believe, is 24. I believe he's 1 year older than Cole Caulfield, okay? So he's able to score some goals here, 34 goals, at a relatively young age. You know, other than that, there's Nick Suzuki, who's also 24. So so Brady Tkachuk's 24. Then there's Elias Pettersson. Elias Pettersson is 25. Suzuki is 24. Clayton Keller's 25. Yeah, so he's older than there's Frank Vatrano. Frank Vatrano's 30.
Yeah.
And Bo Horvat, Carter Verhaeghe, my God, like I'm at 27 goal scorers already. Wyatt Johnson is the youngest player in the National Hockey League to have more goals than Cole Caulfield. Wyatt Johnson has 32 goals. He's ranked 28th in the league. He's 20 years old. He's 20 years old.
It's funny. I loved Wyatt Johnson. I had him, I think, ranked 16th overall in his draft year. But that was a tough year because it was a COVID year.
Yeah.
And you only got to see them I saw him at the year-ending tournament, and that was it, the U18s. OHL didn't play at all that year, but I loved him there and ranked him top 16 and he's made that ranking look good. Boy, 32 goals. That's great. That's great. Yeah. He's a great little young player. But that goes to show you, Tony, you know?
Yeah.
At his age, Caulfield's and none of those guys are from the 2019 draft that you named.
Yeah.
Right?
So, the other guys that are ahead of Cole Caulfield that off the top of my that I'm just looking here that stand out to me is Seth Jarvis, who's got 30 goals.
Okay.
Seth Jarvis is 22.
Right.
And Lucas Raymond. Lucas Raymond has 29 goals. Lucas Raymond is 22 years old. But, you know, like this is, you know, I just went through basically the top 50 in the National Hockey League. The top 50. And all I could come up with is
three:
Wyatt Johnson, Seth Jarvis, and Lucas Raymond. In the top 50 players in the National Hockey League for goals scored, younger than Cole Caulfield. I mean, all this talk about Caulfield having a terrible season, when you put it in this perspective, come on, man. You know how many guys would love to have a terrible season like this?
Exactly. And, you know, if you bring up the 2019 draft class, Tony, I didn't look at the whole thing, but the number one pick had more points, you know, which as he's supposed to, because Caulfield was 15th overall, but not too many guys outscored him this year from his draft class.
Well, Kaapo Kakko went second in the draft. He's got 19 points.
Right.
You know, he's got 19 points.
Well, there you go.
A bad year for him.
Was hurt, you know. Turcotte's not doing anything.
Turcotte's hurt.
Doc hurt. But you go through that list and
Dylan Cousins, not bad, but nowhere close to Caulfield's production.
No.
Nowhere close. Zegras had a bad year this year, and there was an injury as well.
Podkolzin's not scoring. He's in AHL mostly.
Matthew Boldy, good season for Boldy. 27 goals, 63 points.
He's the only guy that I could come up with in the top 15 that was close to Caulfield. And he's correct. Basically the exact same stats. So,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Couple goals more, a couple points more. That's it.
you got to be encouraged. What's Caulfield got? 62 now?
He's got 62. What is it? A point different then?
That's one point difference.
Two goals more.
Yeah.
Two goals more for Boldy.
One less assist.
One less assist. That's it's pretty good.
I don't see any Minnesota fans complaining about Boldy, saying, "Oh, what a disappointment he is."
For a guy who's a very, very thick 6'2", 205, 210 pounder, right? Like that's the full package right there.
And yeah.
Cole Caulfield is going toe to toe with him. Toe to toe with him.
There you Something. Go.
All right. Okay. Anything stand out in this loss? Something happened you didn't like? Something out of the ordinary? Anything?
Not really. I didn't like that they got a point, but
yeah,
you know, at this point, the last three or four games, you know, Ryder out, like that's going to be quite a. Are they going to each pull the goalies there in Ottawa about second period there, Tony?
Or because they're both going to want to lose the game. That'll be pretty funny. When do you expect Lane Hutson to play?
That's a good question. But I have a feeling that
if he does play,
because
they could sign him and he doesn't play. I would think at the very least he's playing the last game of the season in Montreal. I mean, I would think.
Typically, I mean, you know, Farrell and Harris, their agents said, "Oh well, you know, they got to play." And I mean, Hudson's more heralded than those two, so I'd be surprised if he doesn't get the biscuit that dangle the carrot. Okay, he gets to play the last three games, you know, the regular season. If Laval's still in the, it'd be interesting to see. I wish he'd go down to Laval and be there for that last weekend in Belleville. How crazy would that be if they're still in the, if they need to win, and if they win those, they can be in.
That's a bad loss.
Unfortunately, they lost tonight, and I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, they're in serious trouble. You're right about that. Hey, thanks so much. We will talk to you. Time flies when you're having fun. It's 10:58 here. Would you like to stick around to a couple of questions?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that. Why don't we do this? We'll cap it at five questions, all right? But not before we talk to you about the Accent Insurance Solutions moment of the game.
Accent Insurance moment of the game.
Well, when a game goes to overtime, the Accent Insurance Solution moment of the game usually has to be the game-winning goal, and it was tonight for me anyway. Montreal Canadiens have a 2-on-1. They miss at one end. The Islanders go back the other way, and about 25 seconds after that, the puck ends up on Kyle Palmieri's stick, and he's got a real quick wrist shot, and he's got a nose for net. And he was able to trick Samuel Montembeau a little bit. He goes up and over Montembeau as he looks over his shoulder. Yeah, there we go. That's where Grandma hides the cookies. And the New York Islanders with a big win. I don't remember when was the last time they lost. Man, they are hot as any team in the National Hockey League, much to the delight of Patrick Roy, who I would imagine probably said, "A nice supper, guys, on the table tonight." And so it looks like they're going to go out for a nice supper. If you like the podcast so far, like it, subscribe, comment sick, S-I-C-K. Leave us a five-star review on Apple Reviews. It's our way of feeling the love. Five quick questions in Yellow and Sammy Master Control. If you can bring them up, we'll get to them, and then we'll say Bunry. Tony G says, "Here come Hudson. So, Grant, put him Laval first or straight to the big club?"
Well, we just kind of talked about that, and I think, you know, just like with Harris and Farrell, when the agent will say, "Look, yeah, he'll sign, but you got to give him that look in the NHL, the three games." So I suspect that
burn the first year of the contract, right?
Gouley and Struble out, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you sit Kovacevic? Well, what the big deal? You know, bring him in and let him have a look and give the fan base a little extra excitement towards buying season tickets for next year. Like, you know, I think Jeff wouldn't mind if Hudson played the last regular season game in Montreal. That's for sure.
Next question. Should the Habs draft by need, forward or best player available, like a defenseman at their pick, likely 5, 6, 7? This coming in from Danko. Grant?
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's close, if the players are close, they'll probably lean towards the forward. But, I mean, if the clearly the top guy on their board is a defenseman and a right defenseman, they won't hesitate to take another one, because you can always trade other defensemen to fill forward spots.
All right, next up. Grant, why some scouts are saying that Zane Parikh is a boom or bust type of player? His production in the OHL is very impressive. This coming in from Matthew Belchamber.
Well, I think that was the sentiment early on and going into the season, because he was an offense first guy, and there were comparisons to Ryan Merkley saying, you know, he just can't defend and won't defend. But he's watched him closely this year, and the kid competes hard. His defensive game has come a long way since the start of the year. And we'll get a good look at him here. Memorial Cup, you know, that'll be a great litmus test for him. If he can compete and look decent defensively at the Memorial Cup, then there'll be no, I think he's a top three pick in the NHL draft because of his offensive upside. It's just, he could be a point per game NHL player that quarterbacks a power play and is just so dynamic offensively that, I don't see him as being a bust player at all. He's going to be a point producer.
Two more. Who in this season's draft is most like Slaff? This coming in from Gerb 76 PK.
Most like Slaff.
Nobody.
There aren't too many Slaffs in this draft. Slaff is a pretty, you know, as Bobrov would say, he's a unicorn.
Yeah.
There aren't too many, you know, like when you compare like NHL players, what, Rantanen, and there's a list of one, you know?
So, look, I know he's nowhere close to a first overall. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. I'll just say that the amount of goals, though, that Aginla has put up in the playoffs, that's dominating a playoff round.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
But he's not that type. No. Caden Lindstrom would be the closest thing to Slaff in this draft class.
And last but not least, let's go. Grant, name one player the Habs should re-sign and one they should say goodbye to.
I'd have to know who's eligible.
Yeah, sure. Well, I could tell you this. Well, re-sign. I mean, everyone whose contract is up, I think is going to be gone.
Yeah. Like, I don't think Yolonen's gone.
You know, Yolonen, forget about it. He blew it. He did not impress me at all. I'm sorry, but the two shootout goals is not going to cut it.
No, Yolonen won't be.
Tanner Pearson's gone. Colin White's gone.
Yeah. Did you say Pearson?
Pearson is gone. Yolonen is gone. And White's gone.
Yeah.
Those three are gone.
Yeah.
Armia's got 1 year left on his deal. So, you know what? Dvorak's got 1 year left on his deal.
Is there anyone to re-sign?
Jake Evans will have 1 year left on his deal. Slavkovsky will have 1 year left on his deal. Joshua Roy, 1 year left on his deal. And Pezzetta will have 1 year left on his deal.
They may give, Slaff the big contract extension in the offseason. That's one possibility.
At a number higher or lower than Nick Suzuki?
Oh, probably in the same neighborhood, you know. At this point, they'll offer him something similar to what Nick makes, I think. Like him, Caulfield, and Suzuki all in the same kind of.
If his agent chooses to sign a bridge.
Yeah.
And he keeps on playing the way he's playing, keeps on progressing the way he's progressing.
10 plus.
And he puts up big numbers over the next two seasons. When that bridge is up. He will become the highest paid. He'll become the highest paid player in Montreal Canadiens history, surpassing Carey Price's $10.5 million per year.
He will, yeah.
And I guess if you think about it, he's a first pick overall.
Yeah.
And the salary contract was up. About, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I guess it would kind of make sense if that happens, right?
Grant, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they sign him to nine even. If they could get 7-8 year deal this offseason, he could get more than Suzuki. Why not? Like, the cap's going up, right? So
when are you recording the Recruits Draftcast podcast?
Tomorrow.
We'll keep an eye out for that. You already know what's on the agenda. I would imagine you'll be talking about Lane Hutson. You'll be talking about the Laval Rocket a little bit, or
who's going to join you? Yeah, for sure. And the Habs prospect of the week is kind of a sleeper that people haven't really been keeping much of an eye on. But
Oliver Kapanen. No.
Because I got him last time.
Okay, I got it. All right, okay.
But it's another guy that was drafted last year. And as time has gone along here, Tony, last year's draft class is looking better and better all the time. So I think the first two drafts under Kent Hughes has been quite impressive.
So now you're going to make me go to bed thinking about who the Montreal Canadiens drafted. Oh, I know exactly where you're going with this. I don't want to say it because I don't want to give it away. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's got a tough brother.
If he does, I don't know. I don't know him.
Oh, so then I'm wrong again.
I was
thinking Florian Jacky.
No, it's not. That narrows it down. But
well, it does narrow it down. But you know what? It gives me another reason to watch, and I was going to watch anyway. So enjoy that. That's going to be a lot of fun, the Recruits Draftcast podcast. And once again, take a look at Grant's website, recruits.ca. He puts a ton of work into it. He's not alone, but God knows he does most of it. It's under $4 a month, and you'll get in-depth analysis. You'll get mock drafts. You'll get scouting reports. You'll get interviews. You'll get video analysis. It's basically your one-stop shop, everything you need to know about the prospects, especially Montreal Canadiens prospects, of course, that is. So if you're subscribed to that website, you're subscribed to pretty much everything. And thank you for subscribing to the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro. Subscribe to the Sick Podcast, the Recruits Draftcast podcast with Grant McCagg and Shane Gaumont. Grant, you have a great night, my man. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Tony. You too.
All right. Thank you very much for everyone watching. And I want to thank once again Energy Transportation Group. I want to thank Labitte TV. I want to thank Playground. And I want to thank Accent Insurance Solutions. And I want to thank all of you, you, my Sick Army, and you, my Sick Community. And especially want to thank Aniello and Sammy and Master Control. They're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. The Sick Podcast will be back tomorrow night. Right here. Same time. Same place. Tell your friends about it. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for watching. Have a great night. Habs lose. Guess what? It doesn't matter. Good for you, Patrick Waugh. We look forward to seeing you in the playoffs.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.